Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Vav, and we went through the eight things that we learned from this entire Braisa, and we ended up with the last one being that since it says over here that if you don't have enough, so what it is that you're supposed to do is wait and then utilize the coats for both in Yonim, it must be that there's no way to break up that kos, and it must be that you can't use the same kos, drink a little bit of it, and then go ahead and use the rest of it, assuming that there was more than an exact revias, use the rest of it after Birkat HaMazon, because then we could have done both. We could have had both our Havdalah and our Birkat HaMazon. However, not everybody agrees with this. Because Rav Ashi Omar, this is the last word on the second line, Rav Ashi says you can't be medayik that, because you're making an assumption that there's slightly more than a revias. How do you know? If we're talking about a revias exactly, then the tam o pagmo is simply a different way of saying kol shel brachat tzorech shiur, and that's chodem yilti. It's all one thing. Because the most you could prove here is that you cannot have less than the shiur of a gezayit. Of a revi'at in your coats. So therefore, I don't see that we've got eight things here, really. We only have seven things. V'hochikomar, because all he was saying is, my taima tomo pogmo, why would it be that if you drank something from the cup of wine that you would not be able to use it, that would be mishum de koshel brocha tzarech shiur. It's only because you now have less then revias remaining. Again, we'll be talking about this in Mir Tashem after the daf when we go over the halakha lamaisa. Anyway, when we say tamo pogmo, the Rambam's lashon is that basically it turns it into shiurei hakos. In other words, everybody understands that if you drink down, let's say, five cups of wine, you're left with a little bit at the bottom of those cups, and now you put them together and you're going to make a bracha on like leftovers of the cup. I mean, it's a tremendous bizayin. So that makes the wine shirayim. We have this concept of shirayim that once something, Baruch Avram wants to call it dregs. Okay. But it's like really inappropriate. And if that's the case, the question is, I mean, to what extent? I mean, obviously, you know, if you have this gigantic cup of wine, you're going to say drinking just a little bit of it turns the rest of it into shirayim. Is that true? So indeed, Rabbi Yaakov bar Yehuda kapid achatzpa pegima. He, if somebody would drink even from a large pitcher of wine, he would consider that the entire pitcher was considered to be pogrom to use for kiddush or for havdalah or for kosher bracha on Birkat HaMazon. Ravidi Bar Shisha, he was only makbid on a kos. If it's like a big pitcher, then already it doesn't make an impact because you can't call leftovers of somebody who sipped out of a large chatzpah, can't call that pegima. Marba Ravashi was makbid even on a chavita pegimta. He was makbid even on an entire barrel. Now the Rashbam points out that when the Gemara says barrel, it doesn't mean what we call a barrel. It doesn't mean one of these large wooden barrels that holds gallons and gallons. Nobody was that makbid. And when it says over here the idea of a chatzpah, that's referring to what we called the chatzpah. Remember, we were looking around for a internet picture of the Roman chatzpah, which was essentially these large cheres bottles that sit on a stand. So that type of thing is the size of a chatzpah, but certainly not the modern, in his terms, the Rashbam terms, certainly not the modern giant wooden barrel. Tanu Rabbana, where does the Kiddush come from? Zochor et yom ha-shabbat ha-kacho. This means zochrehu al hayayin. Stosis points out that there's a number of psukim that, in fact, mention the idea of zechira, and even though it's a remez only from Divrei Kabbalah, so let's say naskira dodecha miayin, it says, it's mashmah, there's an inyan of zechira, or zichro ki yein halvanon. But the question is, can you really make that a d'oraisa? I mean, some learn that it's mamash a d'oraisa to say it on the yayin. The way that the Rambam says very clearly is that the d'oraisa is to say the words. That's zochreyu. This additional mitzvah that should be ala yayin, as Tosa says over here, that is an esmachta, and that's not really, because it's coming from the divrei Kabbalah. How do I know emi ela b'yom? But that only tells me that I should be zochres yom haShabbos. How do I know to be zochres Shabbos at the night time on Friday night? Talmud lomar zochres yom haShabbos. What? What's going on over here, says Gemara? Well, nothing that you said makes sense. First of all, what do you mean belaila minayin? On the contrary, no? I mean, if the ikr point of Kiddush is that you are talking about the discrimination between Kodesh and Chol and Kodesh, so then at the moment that that occurs, that's where you have the highest degree of Kiddush. You need to be Mekadesh at the moment of the Knesset of Shabbos, in which case the simple meaning of the Potsik of Zechores Yom HaShabbat is Dafka to say Kiddush at night. How can you ask me, how do I know I'm supposed to say Kiddush in the nighttime? And secondly, what you said makes no sense. I mean, let's even assume that you took the word Zechor Yom HaShabbat originally to leave out the nighttime, which doesn't make any sense, but let's even assume it does. So then you start looking around for a Pusik to tell me that Belaila, you should also have to make Kiddush. And what's your ingenious idea? How do I know Belaila? You say, because it says Zechor Yom HaShabbat. I understand, if you're looking for the Laila, I mean, Tana Mahadar Alaila, and now you're bringing me a Pusik about the Yom? Something is messed up over here about this Braita. Says the Gemara, you're right. The Braita has been completely messed up. Hoki Kamar. What happened in this Braita is it basically turned into a Rubik's Cube. Now you got to put it back in order, okay? So all of the elements are here, and therefore, as Rashbam points out, we can't say the kind of answer we normally would say, Chisuri Mechasra, because nothing's missing. All we need to do is put it into the right order. So the Rashbam suggests that that means that this was a mistake, and that the Tana got mixed up in the Lashon. Of course, it's possible that this is an alternative way of keeping Torah Shebaal Peh Torah. In other words, in the same way that Chisuri Mechasra is not an accident, we were Mechaser in order to maintain the idea of a Torah Shebaal Peh that the Talmud would need to work out and remember. It's possible that Sirus of a Braisa, meaning putting it into the wrong order, is a way of maintaining all of the information while insisting that you solve the anagram, so to speak, and you put it into the correct order. And therefore, the right thing that it should say is Achikamah. Zochoret Yom HaShabbat HaKadshehu, Zochreyu Alayayin. Obviously, what does that mean? Bikni Sato. But then, Eli Ela Balayla. How do I know Bayominayin? Talmud Lomar Zochoret Yom HaShabbat. There's even a mitzvah to say something with Kovet Shabbos in the day. What would that be? I mean, it can't mean that you say Kiddush again in the daytime, because we just learned before, yesterday we learned, that there is no Kiddush in the daytime. Remember, we said, well, Shabbos and Yontif, they have a Azkara in Birkat HaMazon, so that you would say Ritzeir, you would say Yalav Yavo, but you do not make Kiddush. So then, what do you say? When you're telling me that there's a remez in the pasuk that the Yom HaShabbos means there's got to be a bracha in the day, on Ravina, all you need to do is you say Bori Pri HaGefen. Because what the pasuk is being merames on is that you have to show that this Yom is different than other Yomim. So if you begin your Achila with Yayin, which is not the normal way to begin Achila, so then that would show that this day is different and that you're being mechabedit in a particular way by making it choshev to have wine before. And that's efficient. So Rav Ashi once came to the town of Mechuzah, and they gave him a mechabed him. Oh, look at this. We have Rav Ashi in town. So for the Kiddush, they said, Likadish lanmar kiddush rabba. So you make for us this grand Kiddush. So he's thinking, what grand Kiddush? What kind of grand Kiddush? Oh my God, I don't know what these people do. Maybe they have a minute that you actually say, like Kiddush, in the daytime, the whole Kiddush. So he's thinking to himself, man, I'm about to make a fool of myself. What should I do? What? I can't ask them, what is Kiddush Rabbah? I don't think I'm a total Amar. I never heard the term. So he's thinking, what do I do now? So my new Kiddush Rabbah. Okay, so he thinks to himself, look, I don't know what it is, but one thing I do know is that whenever there's a mitzvah that you're supposed to say Kiddush, Abdullah, whatever, So you always start off by making the bracha of Bari Pri HaGefen. So let me start off, okay? I'll see what happens. Maybe people will turn to the page of the sitter. Maybe they'll start drinking. We'll see what happens, and then at least I won't make a fool of myself. So he starts off saying, Kol HaBrachos Kolon Bari Pri HaGefen. I should start saying Bari Pri HaGefen, but he says it like with a lot of kavana, and he's taken over here 3 minutes to say Bari Pri HaGefen. Ay, 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 ay. Anyway, meanwhile, some guy can't take it, and he just bends down and he starts drinking. And he's Agibe. He sticks to it a long time. So Chazi Aluz Sabah Degachin Vishasi. He sees this old man over there who starts to drink. Oh, whew, he says, Gori Anafshe, very smart. Hachachame Nav Berosho. A guy who's smart keeps his eyes open. So at least I didn't do anything stupid. If no one had gone ahead and done anything, so then he would have had no choice but to go ahead and make the regular Kiddush, which wasn't the right thing. But he thought, okay, if it's their minig, I'm not going to come and in their face, like not make it for them. But the question is, did the old man really have a right to bend down? So we've got our Baruch Avram pointing out, as we've been learning this in previous years, that maybe it's not Nogea, because maybe this was Eli Yohanovi, and he just wanted to get him out of his pickle and let him know that he shouldn't say anything else. But the Tosfos doesn't think that that's the pshat. And he says that you see from here that if everyone, apparently there was a large crowd, and everyone had their own kos, it's not that they were pouring out the kosot afterwards, they'd given it out before. So Inochinami, if the person himself is going to drink and he pours out to everybody, then it's not correct to drink before the one who makes the Kiddush. But if everyone is given their own kos, then it's okay. That we see from here, assuming it wasn't Emiyono. Amri b'nei Rebbe Chiya. Min shelo hivdil b'motzei Shabbat. If for some reason you couldn't say Havdolah Motzei Shabbos, so then we had this before. Remember, we used this as a riot to what the din is of Kiddush. But here we're getting to the Iker place where B'nai Rebbe Chiya said the halacha, so that Mavdil v'olech b'chol ha-Shabbat, you're allowed to say Havdolah throughout the entire week. What do we mean by throughout the entire week? And what part of the week is still considered to be post-Shabbat, and what part of the week is considered to be pre-Shabbat? Omer Rebbe Zera, ad revi'i b'Shabbat, meaning until Tuesday night, it's all post-Shabbat. And therefore, we're not yet in the modality of looking forward to the coming Shabbos, we're still licking our wounds from leaving the past Shabbos. So, Mamela, we should say it until Tuesday. So, some say it was Rabbi Zera in front of Ravasi, some say it was Ravasi in front of Rabbi Yochanan. But anyway, there was a question like this. If somebody makes a condition in a divorce, and he said that divorce will be chal if you pay me after Shabbos, $1,000, right? So what does after Shabbos mean? How much time does she have to pay after Shabbos? Or when can she pay if he says, pay me before Shabbos? When is that considered to be a kiyum of the Tanai? So the Inyan Gittin, the Chanda b'Shabbata, Trei v'Tlata b'Shabbata, so that means Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday are considered to be post-Shabbat. Arba v'cham shel Malei Shabbat, Malei Yom l'Shabbata, so Masha'en Kein, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, that is called to be pre-Shabbat. And therefore, the same thing would be true over here. So if you're being mavdil, that means you're licking your wounds, so to speak, and you're talking about the transition into Chol from Shabbos, you are still going through that transition until Tuesday night. And because of that, you could say Kiddush, you could say Havdolah. But the question is, if you do that, is it that this is a question that's actually, the Minchas Chinuch raises this question. Is this begetter tashlumin, or is this begetter knas? I mean, is it like, in other words, suppose you weren't chayev at the time of Havdolah. Is this like a new chayev? Okay, lemaisa, what this might be nogea, would also be the question of whether you would say Havdolah. In other words, if you're really licking your, when I say Havdolah, I'm telling you, I don't know what's with my mind. If you say bori minei psamim, this one. So if the idea over here is you're licking your wounds from Motzei Shabbos, well, maybe there's even an inyan of saying Borei Minei B'Samim. So if we're talking about the idea of the or to make on the candle, there it really doesn't make any sense. Because remember, the idea of the candle is, or the torch, I should say, technically speaking, because we paskin before avuka is mitzvah min amufer. So over there, the reason that we do that is really not because of Havdalah. It's because that was the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was noising das ba'adam, and that he was able to create fire for the first time. So we say that Borei Me'orei Ha'esh at that time. To say that, therefore, anytime you make Havdalah, anytime during the week, we should be masker Borei Me'orei Ha'esh, that doesn't make sense. So therefore, said Rabbi Yaakov Baridi, when it comes to the Ur, so we would not say the Bracha al Ha'ur. The question over here is that Gemara does not address what about the Besamim. You know, so, I mean, you could say that if I still have the tsar of leaving Shabbos to go into Chol, maybe I should make a bracha on Besamim. However, we paskin that there is no Besamim, and that once already you've gone through the trauma of leaving Shabbos and having your neshama yetera lost, so by the time the morning comes around, you're back to your own normal semi-conscious existence in which you don't even notice how miserable you are. So you don't say the Besamim. Amar of Bruna, Amar Rav. Hanoto Yadav, Lo Yikadesh. This is really a remarkable halacha. I'm sure many of you are aware of the minag of the people from Germany. They would always make the Kiddush after they wash their hands in order to prevent there being a long hefsek between the Nedilas Yadayim, between the Kiddush and the Seuda. So actually, they used to do this in Tells also. Not only the Deutsche Yidden, but since there's a whole yeshiva that goes to need to wash their hands, turns out there's a very long time between the time in which you make Kiddush and you get all these hundreds of people, even though they installed an entire wall of sinks. So they had like 30 sinks there, but it was still taking too long. So they decided that they're going to take on that minhag, and they'll have everybody wash before the Kiddush, and then they'll make Kiddush, and then they will be able to eat their bread. Now, the Shaila is, does the person who's making the Kiddush, does he wash his hands before the Kiddush, or is saying the Kiddush considered to be a hefsek between the Netilah and the actual Seuda on the pots? Now, I mean, maybe if you're making the Kiddush on bread, which we're about to see, is a possibility. So there, it would make sense that you would be ready to eat the bread that you're making the Kiddush on. But if you're making the Kiddush on wine, you're going to be making the bread as a separate bracha after the Kiddush, then perhaps the Kiddush and the drinking of wine should be a hefsek. Yes, and as Alon is reporting, Rav Goldstein's yeshiva, which of course is a child of Tells, actually kept minag aveseyan piyadeyan. So, okay. So the question is over here, the Gemara says, according to Rav, I quotes it from Rav, Hanotel Yadav Lo Yikadesh. If you were the guy who washed your hands for the Seuda, then you should not be the one who makes the Kiddush. Let somebody else make Kiddush, because if you're going to say the Kiddush, then the Kiddush will be a hefsek. And as the Rashbam points out, if the Kiddush will be a hefsek, so we can't tell you, okay, go ahead and be Makadosh, you wash your hands again. Because then you're going to be being gerim a bracha she'ina tzricha. Because if you really needed to make the netilat yadayim again, so now you already made the bracha of al netilat yadayim. So therefore, let somebody else make kiddush. So now the bach has v'chein omer v'ara barava omer rav, not al yadav lo yikadesh. That's in order to make it flow better with because these were all tamid in the rav. So omer lo rav yitzchak bar shmuel bar marta, you know, rav hasn't even died yet. And you manage to forget everything that he taught you. Sheesh. So, lo noch nav shede Rav, and shachninu lo shemaita say. We're doing everything wrong, because this is not what Rav said. Because Zimnit said, I can tell you, there were plenty of times that I ate over Rav's house. And avakeimna kameda Rav. And sometimes, he felt like making kiddush on challah. Because he really had a big appetite. It was delicious challah that was brought out, smelled wonderful. And he held that if you have a bigger desire for the challah, so then l'chatchila, you can make the kiddush on the challah. And he would do that. If chaviva love rifta, mikadosh harifta, because since the idea over here to show the chashivas and your chavivas for Shabbos, as we spoke about yesterday, which is why there's an inyan to be mocked in because of the chavivusa. And then we talked about chaviva mitzvah b'shaita in the same way. So because of that, he would make the kiddush on the challah. And zimni de chaviva lechamra, mikadosh hachamra. And if he wanted to make it on wine, then he would make it on wine. Now, there's two ways of understanding this Gemara. I mean, one way of understanding this Gemara is, you see, he was able to make the Kiddush on challah, and obviously he would have had to wash before, because then the challah wouldn't have been roy for him anyway. So apparently the words of the Kiddush are not considered to be a hafzek. So now if that's the meaning, then as the Rashbam points out, I mean, it's sort of an easy comeback to this. Well, obviously, if he's going to be Mekadesh on the lechem, so then the kiddush the whole time is thinking about the lechem. How would that be a hefsek? I'm making the kiddush on the lechem. Mashein kein, if the lechem has nothing to do with the kiddush, and then I'm saying the kiddush on the yayin, how can you bring a raya from here that the kiddush is not considered to be a hefsek vis-a-vis the lechem afterwards, between the netilas yadayim? It doesn't seem to make much sense. All right, says Rashbam, but since the Gemara doesn't say that, then obviously it doesn't hold that that's a significant difference, which is a little bit difficult. The alternative is that Rav had not made up his mind. In other words, he went ahead and was Neitel Yadav. We know that because it says that if he decided that he wanted to make it on Blechem, he would make it on Lechem. So he must have been Neitel Yadav before. Okay, so then if that's the case, he was Noto Yadav, and then he made up his mind. If I feel like making it on the wine, I'll make it on the wine. So no, we'll see what kind of good wine they bring and what it smells like. We'll see what kind of good bread they bring. We'll see what it smells like. And I'll make whatever is chaviv. But then that would be clearly an indication that no matter what you do, the netila prior is not considered to be a hefsek. Then that works out very well. So that would be the reason that he's saying, look, we're not even keeping the dinim that our Rebbe showed us. Omer v'not marab. Suppose you went ahead and you ate some food before Kiddush. So then you do not have the right to say Kiddush anymore on that night. And you're going to have to wait until the next time that you start a Seudah to make Kiddush properly. You're supposed to make Kiddush as the introduction to a Seudah. You'll have to wait till tomorrow morning, and then you'll say Kiddush. Big shiloh whether you're allowed to eat anymore, or whether this is even a knas that you're not even allowed to eat because you can't say Kiddush. Okay. What about at the end of Shabbos? You eat something before Havdolah. Would you be allowed to make Havdolah on that night, or would you in fact have to wait for Havdolah also till the next morning? And then you wouldn't be allowed to continue to eat. Amar Leh, Sir Ravuna said, look, I can tell you my personal opinion is. Ani Omer, personally I hold that if you were Tom before Havdolah, you are allowed to say Havdolah, except that Ravasi disagrees. And Ravasi says, Tom Eino Mavdil, you wouldn't be allowed to say Havdolah either. And it once happened that Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba came to visit by Ravasi's house. And he, before Havdolah, he forgot and he ate something. And nonetheless, they gave him a kos, and he was mavdil on that kos, even though he had eaten something. Now, Ravasi, of course, personally wouldn't do that, because we just learned that Ravuna actually said, you should just know that Ravasi doesn't hold you allowed to do that. So Ravasi's wife says to Ravasi, Omrele Deviso, but wait a minute. Hamar lo avidachi. Now, those were the days when, you know, your wife would call you Mar. It was not a bad idea. She didn't mean bitterman, you know. I mean, maybe that's why she called him Mar. Oh, bitter man. But actually, sir is the better pshat, right? So,
do you remember Eliyahu Bar Chama?
Yes, of course.
He yelled at me. What do you think it's Mar? It's more. It's from the Torah.
It's beautiful. Very nice. So, you don't say that. Omar Lo, I mean, you, if you ever forgot, then you don't say Avdolah till the next morning. Oh, my love. So she was obviously going to attack him, right? So he said to her, no, leave him be, let him get away with murder. Because even though I don't hold this, but he holds Kirabe Sfirle, because Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba is a Talmud of Rav. And Rav holds that Toam, you are allowed to be Mavdil. Okay, we don't know that, but we know that from here. So now, apparently you see from here that when Rav Huna said that, he was saying it. When he said, I hold, what he really meant was, this was the halacha that I was mekabel from Rav, apparently. And there's a lot of different shitas here about this. Rav Yosef says that according to Shmuel, Ta'am eno mekadesh, ta'am eno mavdil. So he holds you're not allowed to do either. And Rabba Amr Rav Nachman Amr Shmuel, however Shmuel is quoted by Rav Nachman as saying that ta'am mekadesh and ta'am mavdil. And that there is no knas about not being able to wait, to having to wait till the next day. And the halacha is, Omar Rava Hilchata. Halacha l'maisa, ta'am mekadesh and ta'am mavdil. Furthermore, the halacha is, mi shelo kidesh be'erev Shabbat, mikadesh v'aleich kol hayom kulo. Ad mutzei Shabbat, you would be allowed to say kiddush until the end of Shabbos. Mi shelo yivdil b'batzei Shabbat, and furthermore, the halacha is, that you could be mavdil v'aleich kol haShabbat kulo, and of course, we've already explained that the meaning of the words kol haShabbat kulo is until Tuesday night, and that's considered to be still, you're coming down off of Shabbos. But there's another lashon here, according to which you cannot be mavdil the entire week, you can only be mavdil the entire day, meaning the next day. So on Meimar, he was patachla, the Shmaitz of the Rav Bahailish, and he said it over slightly differently, and he said, O my Rav Hilchita, ta'am mikadesh, ta'am mavdil, so it's exactly the same as we had it before. And furthermore, Mishalo Kidesh Berav Shabbat, Mikadesh Valer Kolayom Kulo, exactly the same as we said before. And here's where the difference comes. Mishalo Yivdil Babutza'i Shabbat, Mavdil Valer Kol Hayom Kulo. And therefore, according to this lashon, you don't have the whole week to do it. You only have until Sunday night. Okay, so now let's go over some of the halachas that we've been leaving behind over here. Also, I just wanted to go over with you a little bit the various shitas that we ran through when it comes to the different lashonas of the machlokasin about all of these differences between yikne, yinhak, yanek, kniya, kina, nikia, nihak, nahik. It's pretty amazing. So, as we pointed out, there's really only a few fundamental issues. And then the question is how the different shitas actually put them together. So, I mean, one major issue, and that would include all of those shitas that begin with the yud, is that yayin always has to come first. And that would be that we don't take into consideration the question of the fear that maybe there will be a hefsek between the Kiddush and the Havdolah and that the Yayin won't be nearer as if it's going on both of them and so on. We don't make those types of analysis. And instead, Yayin comes first. And this, of course, would be consistent with what Beis Hillel said in Brachas, that Birchas HaYayin is Kodemus LeBirchas HaKiddush. And therefore, that would be true always. So that would be the Yaknahaz. That, of course, that's the Iker Shita. That's how we paskin, and that's Rav Shita. And the reason for that, we said, is the other fundamental point that always Kiddush is the thing which comes first. And that's all of the Shitas that put the Kuf first. And that's because it's either because we would not want to put off the Kiddush, which is the idea of the Kabbalahs. It's always the Kabbalah of Kedusha is more chashuv than the loss of Kedusha. Or because Havdalah shouldn't come first. Not that Kiddush should come first, but Havdalah shouldn't come first. And that was the svar that we mentioned again, which is Shaini Afuke Yume Mi'aluya Yome, because we always would like to put off the loss of Shabbos as much as possible. So there's two possible ways of understanding all of the Lashonises that have the kuf before the hay. However, we did have Shmuel, who even though he holds yayin comes first, still has the hay before the kuf. So therefore, you have over there yinhak. And that means it's more chashuv to walk the Shabbos out, so to speak, because the Shabbos is the melech, and then to deal, even though it Kiddush is, of course, Kabbalah's Kedusha, but Kabbalah's Kedusha of a secondary duke as opposed to being Malava the king is inappropriate. And the question is, about Rabbah, who essentially agrees, all he does is make the difference of putting the Ner actually after the Havdalah, because he holds that there's that advantage of making a maximum distance between Kiddush and Havdalah for another reason. The maximum distance would be, if we made the Ner first, we'd have a little bit less of a difference because we would have that one bracha less. And that's because there is an innate difference in ambience, the Kiddush and Havdalah, obvious, a very profound difference in ambience, because one is saying goodbye and one is saying hello. And even though the Beatles thought that they could turn that into itself a song, but the truth is that the contradiction, according to Rabbah at least, means it's not the way to go. So it could be according to Shmuel, maybe they based the song Aliba de Shmuel. And then, of course, they included the various deyas, because you say hello and I say goodbye. It was good for the machlokas about whether Kiddush is kodem or whether Havdalah is kodem. Okay. Then, however, so those are those three basic shitas, all of them putting yayin first. Now, we also have shitas that, but we had two shitas that Tavka don't put yayin even before the Kiddush at all. And what they want to do is the Yayin should be closer to the Havdalah. So we have over there the Kniya Shita of either Levi or Rabbah. Remember the Rashbam reversed the Shita. So we want the Yayin to be close to the Havdalah. And we also, remember, would like to be make the maximum difference between hello, goodbye, and therefore we have kuf at the beginning, hey at the end, and then the ner and the yayin in the middle. There are others who have, that was the Rabbanan, and they say it's a kina. The reason is, again, because we want to have the yayin to Havdalah. And the reason we want that is because yayin is only, Havdalah is only on Yayin. Mashenkin Kiddush, as we just saw, can be also done on pot. So if it's ambivalent, like where the Yayin belongs, we certainly would like to show that it's more nogea, the Havdalah. And so because of that, we then make the normal Havdalah. So we have the Yayin there, Havdalah, and that's fine. Then we also have three shitas that say that the Mo'or comes first. And that was the Nikia Shita of Marbrei de Ravana, and that was the Niak Shita of Marta, and that was the Nahik Shita of Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. They hold that the Ner is Kodem, and that's because the simple fact that the Ner is not really part of the Havdalah. The Ner is something that you make as soon as your Nene from the Eish on Mitzrayim Shabbos. So because of that, that's the first thing that's Chal. Okay, so then Ner comes first. Now the question is, what comes after? That's okay. The other machlokasin, whether we have Kiddush, Yayin, Havdalah, Yayin, Havdalah, Kiddush, or Havdalah, Yayin, Kiddush. That we understand from the way that we explain the earlier shitas. So that way, at least we get through all of the understanding of all of those variations. Fine. Then we were talking about today, we got to these questions about eating before Havdalah and stuff like that, eating before Kiddush. So what would be actually be the halachas there? Now, remember that we learned yesterday that according to Rabbi Akiva, you die. And therefore, it's very, very chomor not to drink before Havdalah and so on. So the question is, you know, how much to be machmor? That is an interesting tshuva of Rav Meisha. Rav Meisha writes in a tshuva that if Rabbi Akiva was that machmer on this, so then it would mean that even if you're falling asleep like Richie, you would still, oh hello, Rich. You would still want to be in a case of a suffix, because after all, Richie would never remember, did I or did I not? So even in a case of a suffix, whether maybe it's now before Havdalah and it's too late to drink and so on, even though the question over here is obviously only a Rabbanan and the whole thing, but because of the fact that Rabbi Akiva said you die, you should actually be machmer on this as if it's a suffik d'oraisa, which is a very interesting idea, because it's obviously not the normal way that we see the way to paskin on the basis of, like, you know, what a person is garnering for himself. And then there is really those that were matir. Remember, we said before, because we said Rav Amram was matir and the Rabbanan in the yeshiva, by Rav Ashi, were matir drinking water, and they didn't hold that Rabbi Akiva is even on, or even though maybe they didn't hold of Rabbi Akiva, whatever. Based on that, the Rif actually paskins that it is mutter to drink water, just water, of course. And this is only, he only paskins this legabe havdolah. And interestingly enough, the Kiddush, there are Rishonim that are more machmeran. That the Rashbam points out over here, the Ran paskins that way. And the only one that is matir, as far as I know, in both cases, is the Rambam, who says that shtiyas mayim is not considered to be shtiyah at all, really. There's no chashivas. And because of that, you would be allowed to take a drink if you're very thirsty before Kiddush. You'd be allowed to take a drink before Havdalah. And Lamaisa, we paskin in the Shulchan Aruch that it's aser, and people are pretty makbid on that things. Now, the question is, there's this very interesting idea of until what point you're allowed to continue to eat your Suda Shlishit. So the Pashtus of our Gemara is, and I mentioned to you yesterday, that there's a shaila of what the Talmid Rav were asking when they told Rabbi Nuna Saba to go outside and to check. So were they checking for Shkia, or were they checking for actual Tzesa Kochovik? So based on that, there's actually the Rif's Shita that even though we were talking about you're being allowed to continue eating your Seudah Shlishit, it didn't mean you can continue eating as long as you want. It only meant you could continue eating until it was Chashecha completely. Once it's not been Hashmoshes and it's Vadai Chashecha, so then you wouldn't be allowed to continue your Seudah Shlishit. So again, I mean, as the Shulchan Aruch himself brings, the minig has become that not to be mafsik at all, and not to be machmer like the Rif. So there is, however, a question of if you're in the middle of your seudah, but you're not really eating anymore, and you finished the food, can you continue to drink because it's really all part of the same seudah? So I mean, there are those. And many are semech on that Shulchan Aruch Rav. He paskins that it's all considered to be okay in this case. Fine. Now, the question is, how late, famous question, how late can you start Seudah Shlishit? This is over here, you're not allowed to eat after Shkia. Does that mean literally after Shkia? Or is there a Bein HaShmoshes period in which for sure you know that even according to the smallest year of Bein HaShmoshes, it certainly is not as yet Seita Kochavim. And therefore we're not machmir to say that the Shkia itself would be the time that you're not allowed to eat from. So there are those, as I'm sure you've heard, who are matir to eat, you know, some 8 minutes, 13 minutes, 13 and a half minutes in any event. But then you get into another question, because then you're going to be eating before Myriv, and you're not allowed to be Koveya Suda before Myriv. Even though it's a matir starting a Shalashunas, but you have to be Machmir not to eat more than a Kebetza, because at that point already you're being Koveya Suda before Myriv. Now, there's also a big question. What constitutes...
I mean, even if you had a Tfilah B'tzibur Kavua?
No, so okay, so it would be Nogea that Shailah. That would be the same as somebody reminding you. Hmm. Now, the question is, what is Seudah Shlishit? In other words, you're considered to be in the middle of a Seudah, obviously, as far as the sin of not needing to be mafsik. From the Gemara that we were talking about, which required Akira Shulchan, and that was the Havamin and Tamid and Rav, that they were actually going to be Akira Shulchan. And so they were told, no, you don't have to be Akira Shulchan, you have to serve Chan Shmuel about Priestess Mapa. But what is considered to be a Kvias of a Seudah? That's the question. Is it only actually Birkat HaMazon? In other words, if you were eating pot itself, how about if you were eating Mizonot? Would Mizonot itself be enough to be Koveya the Seudah? So actually, since it's ring, Reb Shlomo Zalman was besupik about this, whether Mizonot would be sufficient. And anything else less than Mizonot, I mean, the Aruch HaShulchan hold that you'd have to be mafsik, and you would not be, you would say, things that you don't need to be Koveya Suda on. type of things that you would need to be neutral yodav for, or maybe it was a Suffolk pot over there. Okay, that is Mekalon. Now, the question is, there's this weird thing about someone who drinks water towards the end of the day of Shabbos, is stealing water from the nefashos of the Mesim in Gehenim, who are allowed out on Shabbos, and this is the day that they have to have their mayim, and that mayim is miyuchad, very, very strange kind of thing. Anyway, according to which, you're not supposed to be drinking water, and because of that, don't make your Suda Shlishis between Mincha and Ma'ariv, specifically. Because that's the time we're afraid you're going to end up drinking water, and you're not supposed to be drinking water. Now, Lamaisa, the Ashkenazim, hold exactly the opposite, because the Ramah Paskins, that the best time to have your Suda Shlishis is after Mincha, so that many people are knowing Lechatchila to only make the Suda Shlishis after Mincha. And that's not a halacha, literally. Obviously, if you're going to have problems eating after Mincha, so then you're certainly allowed to make your Suda Shlishis, even the Chatchila, before Mincha. And then, you, of course, you have to make sure you have somebody to remind you about davening Mincha. If it's before Mincha Ketana, you're not allowed to be koveya a Suda, and so on and so forth. But if it's still Chatzi Shah before, there would be no problem. Okay. Next, we had the question of Mekadesh Kol HaYom Kulo, which is what we talked about today. So the question over there is, as I mentioned to you before, there's this Minchas Chinuch has got this whole Sha'ila, whether this is considered to be like a Tashlumim Rishon, that if you were a Mischayev originally, so you're Mechuyev now, is it really a din? Meaning it's part of the din D'Oraisa, that Zohar as Yom HaShabbos, and that could be Mechayev you, even like if it's not at the Zman HaKnisa, because it's still considered to be the equivalent of making that difference between Chol v'Shabbos, or it's just like a din that the Rabbanan made, which is sort of like a make sure that you don't forget the inyanim of Kiddush. And then there's another question. I mean, would you say Vayichlu Hashemayim v'Aretz v'Chol Tzvah? Would you say that in the day? Because you have to make a real Kiddush, because you make Kiddush at night. Or is saying Vayichlu, I mean, that already doesn't make any sense, because, I mean, what do you mean Vayichlu? It's not Vayichulu time, because the time of Vayichulu is Dafka at the period in which there was that Vayichulu, and that was Mamish, that was the transition from Chol to Shabbos. That's why Vayichalolim Bayom HaShvi, that he was Nichnas, and it looked like he was even doing Malacha on Shabbos, and therefore it doesn't make sense to say Vayichulu. That seems to be pretty clear, that no matter what, you would not say Vayichulu. Okay, this, the Rama says, don't say Vayichulu, which is anyway an introduction to the Kiddush. The question is, would you need to say two Kiddushes? Or you say Kiddush, and then you need to do your Kiddush, Kiddush Araba? By the way, I forgot to mention that there's two different explanations of why we call Kiddush Araba, Kiddush Araba. I'm sorry, I should have said that in the dot. Kiddush Araba could be called Kiddush Araba, like the Rashban says, because it is the primal Kiddush, meaning any Kiddush that you're going to say is always going to include Borei Pri HaGefen, which is how it would relate to the story of what the heck is Kiddush HaRabbah, because that would be exactly the point. If it means the primal Kiddush, so then it would be Borei Pri HaGefen. But there are others who learn that Kiddush HaRabbah is a euphemism, that since this poor little Kiddush, all it's got, Mi'ikar Adin, is Borei Pri HaGefen, so we don't want to call it, you know, just a little Kiddush, so it's a euphemism to call it Kiddush HaRabbah. Same thing that we say about someone who's blind is Sagi Nor. He has a lot of vision. So, meaning, we don't want to call him the limited of vision, right? So, the idea of vision challenged, which is the Sagi Nor in Esav, is not good enough for us. We're going to say that he's got extra vision. Okay. So that would be, obviously, you don't say a separate Kiddush for the Kiddush HaRabbah once you're already making the full Kiddush. And what you should have in mind when you're making that Kiddush is that this is the Kiddush that you're doing for the Yom as well. Now you make a separate Suda in order to be making a Kiddush HaRabbah and so on. Okay, one thing we didn't discuss over here would be whether Kiddush is more important than Avdolah, or Avdolah, is Avdolah more important than the Kvod HaYom. Suppose you only have, this happens very often, you only have enough wine either to be Mechabed the Yom in your Su'udah, or to leave over the wine that you have left over and to use it for Avdolah. So what is more important? So Kiddush is considered to be more important, even Kiddush HaRabbah. So if you only have one cup of wine, make Kiddush on Shabbos, even if you know you're not going to have the Havdalah. But Havdalah is more important than enjoying the wine at the Seudah. So Memela, if you have enough for Havdalah, if you've already made Kiddush in the Yom, then do not drink up the wine during the meal. It's not considered to be, how could I be talking about the Havdalah, which is leaving Shabbos in the middle of Shabbos? I should enjoy the Shabbos as much as I can. That's not the correct cheshvan. Okay, now the question is, what about Pogma? So, I mean, the immediate thing that you consider is, I'm like, what's the big deal? When we're talking about all of these cases, that, well, it must be the reason that we're saying talking about Pogma, which is where we began the daf today with Ravashi, is because you won't have enough. So what, I understand, can't you just pour off the amount that is more? I understand it's just a little amount, but that would be the amount that you were going to drink. Obviously, if you don't drink from the cup, then you're not going to be pogging the cup. So pour it out into another cup, and then you won't be pogging it. Isn't that a simple solution? So apparently, I mean, what you see from here is that those who learn that you have to drink, which is Stosis brings over here, you have to drink from a kos that has the revias in it. And you can't pour off what you want to drink. So because of that, in this case, if you don't have a revias left afterwards, that's why Ravashi is saying, this is why we're saying Tamo Pogma. It's a beautiful way of understanding it. In other words, since you won't be able to have a revias left, therefore all you're going to be able to do is to drink. That would be a completely different approach, you see. Like this, you have to learn that the difference between the way we were learning, the eight things that you can derive, one of them would be Tamo Pogma. So the Tamo Pogma would mean that there's a little bit left and Tamo Pogma. So you're saying, how do you know there'll be a little bit left? Maybe you have precisely the amount. But the point over here would be that even if Lamaisa, you have this little bit that would be left over. So then the idea would be Tamo Pogmo, because what would be left would be less than the revias, and that was what the Gemara was assuming lechatchila. So Lamaisa, I mean, this is a big machlokas, because the mashma'ut is in the Shulchan Aruch that we don't paskin that way, but apparently this is definitely the way the Mogen Avraham paskins and the Shulchan Aruch Harav paskins, and because of that, it's important not to pour off. Try to drink from a kos. You could pour off as long as you leave a revias in there. So that's what many people do. You pour off. That way you're not going to be pogging the kos. You're able to give people from a kos that isn't pogum. And then as long as you leave a revias that's left, you're able to drink from it. So then that would be okay. Yeah. Okay. There's a lot of other like minor dinim, you know, such as what if you have a little bit less than two revias, could you, you know, drink Malay Lugbav and then use the remainder and things like that. Also, there's another issue which we didn't talk about. Can you be unpogam wine if it was pogam? And the halacha is yes, you can be unpogam the wine. Because if you have a container of wine, then even if the cup that you drank from was pogam, you could simply take the wine and refill the cup. So in that case, the giving it the chashivas of a new cup takes away the pegima. There's a machlokas, however, about if you take the remnants of the cup and you pour it back into the bottle, because some learn that that actually is pogame the entire bottle because you're putting in the dregs into the bottle. Others learn that you go according to the rove. So if you have the rove in the bottle, so then you wouldn't be pogame the bottle. It's a question over there. The obvious question is Rishon Batil or not, right? As you can imagine, sugya that we've had many times about things that are gradually mixed with other things. Okay, but these are like really more esoterica. Just to keep you in touch with the varied issues that our sugyas have brought up over here. There's an awful lot of stuff that is nogea halacha l'maisa. So I hope that I have covered basically all of the dinner.